From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today we're back to our weekly conversation with Margaret Kimberly, who has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com, Freedom Rider. This week's column takes a look at a new creature that's intended to spread U.S. propaganda and counter what the U.S. government calls foreign state propaganda in the U.S. The article is entitled, Obama's Propaganda Gift to Trump. We spoke with her via Skype from New York Thursday. Margaret, happy New Year. A pleasure to have you back.
And happy New Year to you, Don. Thanks.
So this week's piece, Obama's Propaganda Gift to Trump. Let's talk about that.
Yes, it's interesting that how often presidents, despite any alleged partisan differences, will hand off to their successors the things that are really important. That is to say, anything that promotes the deep state. And in this case, Obama signed, as every president does every year, the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, which appropriates all our defense budget. But presidents have a habit, and Obama included, of tucking inside the NDAA rules and laws that they don't want anybody to know about. So in 2011, it was indefinite detention, and the NDAA included a provision that said Obama or any president from here on out can indefinitely detain anyone just suspected of being a terrorist. So a few weeks ago, a couple of days before Christmas, of course, on a Friday, Obama had the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act as part of the NDAA, and this is something that's been in discussion all year long. And this Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act establishes something called a Global Engagement Center, which will, to make a long story short, be the government's propaganda arm. It will be able to make policy, make grants. It will be the government's way of, as if it doesn't have that already, but making official that the U.S. government has a propaganda arm, the Ministry of Truth, as people are calling it.
Right.
And, of course, as this comes at the end of the Obama administration, this means he's handing it off to Trump, who we've been told all year is so dangerous and a fascist, but apparently not too dangerous that he can't have this propaganda organ in the government.
Yeah, your article cites the mission, quote, "The purpose of the center shall be to lead, synchronize, and coordinate efforts of the federal government to recognize, understand, expose, and counter foreign state and non-state propaganda and disinformation efforts aimed at undermining United States national security interests," close quote. So literally a ministry of truth that is going to parse all the information coming into the United States from outside, decide what's propaganda and disinformation, what's not, and counter it, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen any number of ways. One of the things that I found interesting is that there will be this grant-making ability. So it made me think of how the U.S. overthrew the government in Ukraine with these NGOs. And NGOs can get money from this global engagement center. So I said to myself, what are they going to do? Overthrow their own government? So at any rate, it just struck me that now we're going to be subjected to the same treatment that's meted out around the rest of the world. And this is all happening because Russia and China are successfully countering U.S. efforts to influence the rest of the world, to run the rest of the world. And the Russophobia, the bizarre nature of it, I mean, it gets crazier and crazier, is all because Russia, Vladimir Putin, has told the United States there are lines that the U.S. cannot cross. and Ukraine was crossing a line, and Syria was crossing a line, and Russia has helped the Syrian government to retake their country. There are peace talks going on which do not include the United States. Russia, Turkey, Syria, Iran are all talking about Syria's future, and thankfully without the United States being present. So this grand scheme to knock down another domino after Libya, after Ukraine, that the U.S. would succeed in taking another country has been thwarted. And this is something that the U.S. cannot abide, because the ruling classes believe, or some of them, those represented by the war party anyway, believe that the United States has to continue practicing imperialism and has to continue taking over more and more of the world, and that the system will fall apart unless it's like a shark that keeps moving. But that's problematic now. And so we see this the bizarre lengths that Russia has been demonized. First, the hacking story, which obviously I'll just put it this way. There's no evidence whatsoever that the Russians hacked the DNC. It was a leak from a whistleblower, the way these things always work, or that Russia is a danger to the world. Hillary Clinton's defeat has defeated this plan. And Trump's coming to the White House, saying that he will improve relations with Russia, that he doesn't want regime change, that he doesn't want these trade deals. We will see what he, you know, what he does. But the fact that he has said that he intends to do these things is a great danger to this system. And of course, as he goes out the door, Barack Obama hands him this gift. And so on the one hand, Democrats are endlessly going on about how Trump is a fascist, Trump is a fascist, Trump is a fascist. But Obama goes out the door and hands him a tool to help practice fascism.
Yeah, it's like Big Brother's microphone. Had in the late 40s, I think it was in 1949, the establishment of so-called Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, mm-hmm. a couple of years later. They operated those with a prohibition, at least a formal prohibition, against propagandizing the American public, under the theory that we shouldn't be taxed so that our money can be spent brainwashing us, you know, that somebody else's money should be involved, like private money, which is what they did with the, you know, the commercial media. But that prohibition was removed during the Obama administration, and the partnership between the various propaganda arms of the U.S., like Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the rest, now in partnership with a disgraced and exiled Russian oligarch to propagandize essentially the American people. And their material is now sourced throughout the media. And then within the framework that you're describing with this Global Engagement Center, what they did essentially was take the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which had, I think, 8 presidential appointees and one other from somewhere else. But the president controlled that and put it directly under the president's control now. This is Global Engagement Center is going to be handling all of the official propaganda of the United States, including the so-called counter-propaganda. And now they created it and they handed it to Trump. Just like Bush created AFRICOM, but didn't, you know, on paper, and then handed it to Obama, who dutifully implemented it.
Yes, and expanded it. So we see how these presidents hand off everything that advances neoliberalism, imperialism, the deep state. When it comes down to it, they're not enemies anymore, and the parties are work hand in hand. And the person who, you know, we're told on a campaign trail is cannot be trusted and isn't fit and is dangerous and whatever gets handed all these goodies as the other guy goes out the door. So this is very ominous to me. A month or so ago, around Thanksgiving, I guess, the Washington Post carried a story about a list of websites such as Black Agenda Report, which were thought to be agents of Moscow or useful idiots or something along those lines, who were carrying the water for Vladimir Putin. Now, we call it reporting the news, but if you do that with any truth, then, of course, you're a Russian agent. Now, the Washington, it's not an accident that the Washington Post is the one that ran with this story
for
of this
sure.
website. Is it propaganda or not? Because the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, the Amazon CEO. Amazon has these huge contracts with the CIA,
right.
almost $1 billion.
Right.
So that was not a surprise, but that will be more common. And this anonymous website won't have to be anonymous anymore. They can apply for a grant from the Global Engagement Center and attack Black Agenda Report and others or do God only knows what. So this is very, very dangerous. And I hope the people who are... resistance is the word of the day, that people are going to resist Trump. I hope people know they have to resist the Democratic Party also.
Yeah, you know, on the question of resisting Trump, there are these lingering promises out there from the campaign of seeking a rapprochement with Russia, of an end to regime change, an end to nation building, you know, essentially an end to the neocon foreign policy. I'm wondering why people aren't going to Washington to, you know, basically support and or demand those. In other words, holding up signs that say, you know, no war with Russia, no more regime change. You know, we've got your back, or we're going to force it, whatever angle that they take. But raising these campaign promises as demands, since they're already in the public discourse.
Yeah, I think that the branding is the issue with the Democrats and with Trump, that they succeeded in branding themselves as the good people, and Trump as the bad person. And there are things about Trump that are bad, but the Democrats need to be protested as well. And I certainly hope there's protest on January 20th against the Democratic Party. But you're correct. Instead of just focusing on, and I think it's mostly domestic policy that concerns most progressives about Trump, and if they are concerned about foreign policy, it's very sad because they're attacking from the right and quoting the CIA
right.
about the hacking allegations and the Russian influence allegations. Is very the contradictions are acute. I guess that's the short way to tell the story. But yes, that should be on the agenda too. But the Democrats are as much a part of the war party as many Republicans are. Then the Republican Party could be split over some of the foreign policy decisions that Trump says he will be making. But I'm not too confident about that. I just see, unfortunately, a rehash of Democratic Party policies. And the Democrats have disgraced themselves in so many ways. And that's why whistleblower leaked this information to WikiLeaks at all about the DNC, about their corruption and their not just unwillingness, but their decision not to address the issues that concern their rank and file, which, of course, led to Hillary Clinton's defeat in the Electoral College. But I'm afraid that it's going to be more Democratic Party-themed protest. A couple of days ago, it was announced Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton will attend the inauguration. Well, who cares?
Right.
But this is a last stab effort to keep some influence in the public mind and to tell people to resist Trump by being good Democrats. That I think is a very, very grave mistake. I think this is an opportunity. Hillary Clinton's defeat is an opportunity to build progressive politics, and that means not the Democratic Party, which led to this debacle.
You know, this whole neo-McCarthy Megilla that's in play now, you have this attempt to, you know, it's like a purge of Hollywood and the media that took place in the late 40s and early 50s on steroids, and immense power in terms of information management, you know, in the hands of people that would conduct that relative to what existed 60, 70 years ago, just the data on Facebook alone. But it seems centered on not the content of information. In other words, we're talking about fake news, quote-unquote, propaganda. Mm-hmm. Isn't the content of it in terms of how it relates to the facts, but rather the source? The big wrangling is whether or not the Russians hacked Clinton's emails and Podesta's emails rather than the content of those emails, which show criminal activity. And instead, the disclosure is, you know, of the highest order in terms of criminal activity. And this reminds me of when they were accusing people in the Black Liberation Movement in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s of being controlled by communists, that rather than addressing the actual valid concerns of people who wanted just the right to vote, to not be lynched and things like that, instead of addressing those concerns, the issue was whether or not communists were involved.
Yes, that's true. So the issue becomes distraction. So you can distract people by demonizing. And it worked, unfortunately, many times in the past, and it can still work now. So instead of Democrats paying attention to what these emails revealed and paying attention to the fact that Hillary Clinton was a criminal, I believe, and instead of focusing on that and talking about what that meant and what we should do as progressives and how can we stop supporting people like that, it all became finger-pointing at some outside evil doing, in this case, against Russia. And so this also reveals the weakness of the progressive movement, the fact that Hillary Clinton won the nomination at all, and that people who think themselves very progressive and enlightened and even leftists would go right down the line and still support her. That is the problem. That's where the problem lies, with progressives themselves.
And the most troubling part of this for me is that, you know, when they conduct these kinds of propaganda campaigns, they're not decoupled from actions that are taken. Generally, this kind of campaign is an adjunct to war on the target of the propaganda effort. And we're talking here about war with Russia, which has 1,000 or 2 or 5 nuclear weapons.
Oh, absolutely. That's the, you know, it softens up opposition to war. We already have had a war president. The United States is or has bombed 7 different countries in the past year. Obama has expanded Bush's wars. The only thing he didn't do was send more U.S. troops, as Bush did in Iraq. So progressives, by not speaking out against this, become partners. And so the effort of all this propaganda against Putin or against Assad or against anybody who's fighting back against the United States, unfortunately, becomes successful, because they are made out to be enemies, not just of the United States, but we're always told they're the worst people. We're told about barrel bombs or, you know, I can't keep track anymore of the anti-Putin propaganda. Anybody ever murdered in Russia was murdered on Putin's orders, and on and on and on. And the hope is that when the president comes on TV saying that, you know, we've got to go to war against Russia, that there will be little or no opposition. And most Democrats, who even those who took to the streets against Bush in 2003, against Iraq, will be silent if there's a Democrat doing it. So that was their goal in hoping continuing this as they hoped Hillary Clinton would win. So the propaganda is being ratcheted up now because they just don't know what Trump is going to do. But absolutely, to your point, the goal is to demonize another leader or another country so badly that opposition to armed conflict is diluted.
And, you know, this past week we saw a ratcheting up of the, you know, this is part of the propaganda war, the expelling of 35 Russian diplomats with their families on 72 hours notice before New Year's weekend. Horrible, you know, just in terms of as an act against human beings. If your boss did that to your staff in an office, you know, they're a tyrant for doing that. It's
absolutely, people being laid off at Christmas time, know, we always say that's a terrible thing.
Right, exactly. So, and you know, they were trying to force them to take commercial airlines, which means, you know, my 6-year-old kid is on one flight, my wife is on another, you know, that kind of thing, going from the busy, you know, the end of the holiday season here, New Year's weekend, to the beginning of the holiday season there. Horrible time to do that. But, you know, there was this massive public relations effort that went out with that. And it looks to me that even though Trump is supposed to be president now, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I think, that they're still trying to, you know, get into something with Russia before that happens.
Yes, but Vladimir Putin, the only grown-up in the room, is the cooler head that prevailed. At first, the Russians responded that they were going to retaliate and expel American diplomats. But at the last moment, Putin said, "No, we're not going to retaliate." And he even invited American diplomats to come to his New Year's party in the Kremlin.
Right, I know that. Yeah, it's cute. Yep.
And New Year's Day, by the way, I'm told, is a huge holiday.
Yes,
in Russia.
It is,
and it's a very family oriented holiday. So it was a real, you know, poke in the eye to the Russians to do that at that time. The Russian government just sent a plane and took their diplomats and families back home.
Yep.
So they didn't have to go through what you described. But Putin, being the wiser person who is winning, decided not to stoop to what America had done. And it just shows you the incompetence. And I think they're incompetent now because they don't know what to do. Their big plan was to have Hillary Clinton carry out Obama's third term. And when she lost, everything was lost. And that is why, with even 2 weeks to go, they are not letting up in this effort.
And if the media weren't preoccupied with all of this Cold War intrigue, you know, I'm waiting to see Boris and Natasha show up on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things they might be reporting would be the peace agreement brokered by Russia and Turkey, you know, the ceasefire agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Russian Navy has a task force that landed friendly visit to Manila, you know, to the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
with a discussion about joint maneuvers as a part of that with Russia,
mm-hmm.
and the Philippines. Turkey realigning itself, apparently, right under the nose of Washington with Moscow, a NATO member, while it grouses that NATO isn't doing very much for Turkey in the fight with ISIS or whoever they're really fighting. There's a reorientation of the forces going on around the world that might be the topic of discussion if they weren't talking about Vladimir Putin.
Yes, it's, you know, and it's sad and it's dangerous that even Americans who want to be informed and who, so they pick up the New York Times or the Washington Post thinking they're going to know what's going on in the world. And just the opposite is true. They don't know what's going on in the world because the corporate media just follows the president and the State Department like scribes, like secretaries taking dictation. And so people have no idea what is going on in the world, that the countries who've been demonized are moving forward with their own plans, that Russia is making, Vladimir Putin tries to make friends with everybody, until the last minute, tried to be friendly to the U.S. He got, you know, far from being this autocrat, he has people he has to answer to. Russia has a political class. People in the military in Russia were angry in Syria that he would stop and start, that they'd be ready to finish off the anti-Assad forces, and Putin would stop to talk to the Americans or would have humanitarian corridors, something we were never told, in order to help civilians fleeing. So people don't know this. Literally, the more information they consume from corporate media, the less they know. And I think people should know how the United States bungling has raised Russia's stock around the world. So this is, yes, these are other things that people don't know anything about. And these are lies of omission. When you don't say that Russia is friendly with the Philippines or any of the other things that you've mentioned, you're telling lies. But that's the purpose of this Global Engagement Center, to make these lies more widespread and more official, and give different groups and people around the country the opportunity to participate in joining U.S. propaganda. It's very, very sad.
And, you know, finally, you're involved, of course, with the column at Black Agenda Report, which is read by hundreds of thousands of people, which does get real information out to people who in turn share it across the social media and elsewhere, and also with UNAC. And I'm wondering, the United National Anti-War Coalition, looking at the the specter of this information war shaping up, and looking at the incoming Trump administration, if UNAC has an agenda for confronting what's coming, say, January 20th?
Well, you know, as the UNAC, as the title says, is an anti-war group and is consistently opposed to U.S. interventions anywhere in the world. So I believe we've stated very well the case against the United States in all of these places that we've discussed. We were among those. We're a member of the Hands Off Syria Coalition. We sponsored a tour. Actually, it's going to start again. A Canadian journalist, independent journalist, Eva Bartlett, around the United States and Canada. So we're going to continue our work of speaking out against U.S. interventions. Trump is a question mark still. There are a lot of concerns about, despite his words about regime change or not wanting regime change, to see what he does. The fact that he has so many generals and has made conflicting statements, there's a more of a wait-and-see attitude about him, but we will continue to oppose U.S. interventions. And should Trump act like his predecessors and find some place in the world where he wants the U.S. to intervene, then we will speak out against that, too.
And it'll be curious to see if the Democrats on the ground, the constituency, get back out in the streets when it's time, if Trump tries to do that, or if they stick with the Democrats in Congress and in the party who are in favor of war with Russia, etc. Margaret, thank you very much. Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com, Freedom Rider. We've been talking about this week's column, Obama's Propaganda Gift to Trump. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.